really encourage you to pay attention to words as we sing songs, rather than just singing by rote and not really thinking, using your brain as you sing. I mean, songs like that, I try to ask myself the question. The words are Jesus talking about the fact that all that thrills my soul is Jesus. And I say, is that really true? Can I really say that? He is all in all to me. Can I say that? Do I live like that? The words of those songs, like I've said before, there's like many sermons in those things. And it can tune our heart to worship. It can tune our heart to be ready for what God has. And don't just sing out of habit or by rote. Pay attention, think, use your brain, amen, engage. And it can be a blessing and a challenge. Take your Bibles and turn to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. We continue in our series of Bible characters. And tonight we're going to consider Gideon, just an aspect of Gideon's life. And not sure how far we'll get tonight. I don't think we'll get all the way through the passage, and so maybe we'll pick it up again at another time. But I just want to read one verse to start out with, and our text will really be later on in this chapter. But Judges chapter 6 and verse 12 is what I want to draw your attention to, where the Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." The Bible tells us that even at a young age, we assume that Gideon was a young man at this point for various reasons, but the Bible tells us that the Lord considered him a mighty man of valor. And a mighty man of valor isn't necessarily the vision that we would get of Gideon initially from what we read about him, and yet this is what God called him even as a young man. God saw what he would be. God was preparing him for something to come. God was preparing him for leadership. God was preparing him to lead men, lead people. And there are some things that Gideon needed to learn, certainly, but God called him a mighty man of valor. I want to talk to you tonight about becoming a leader. In our world that really has embraced so many total reversals of truth and righteousness, the idea of leadership and the idea that God has ordained leadership to be through men, the idea that God works through authority, is something that is despised in our culture. Not only has the world turned the idea of leadership on its ear, but it's something that is despised. The world hates authority, and the world hates strong leadership. And the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, "Woe to them that call evil good and good evil. Woe to those who put light for darkness and darkness for light," and so on. There's a complete reversal of that which is good is considered evil. That which is evil is lauded as good. And the Bible pronounces a woe against a culture that does that. It's not surprising then that in our culture, the definition of leadership has been flipped upside down. It's also despised in our culture. And God has designed and God works through authority and leadership. Definite and decisive leadership is essential in a culture. It's essential in a church. It's essential in a family. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 8, "For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle?" There needs to be decisive, definite leadership, and someone will give direction, someone will give focus, someone will give purpose to a family, someone will give direction and focus and purpose to a church and a community and even a nation. Who's responsible to do that? Well, God places that responsibility in the hands of men. Hold your place right here, but look at Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel 22, and look at verse 29 and following. Ezekiel 22, verse 29, the Bible says, "The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God." God said, I look for a man. I look for somebody to stand in the gap. I look for somebody to stand up and make a difference, but I couldn't find one. And so the land is going to be destroyed, and they're going to reap their own wickedness and their own reward, and it's going to come upon their head. God was looking for a man to lead. God's plan is for godly and wise men to embrace their role of leadership in their realm of influence, whether that's just in your family, whether that's in a church, whether that's in a community or a nation. God wants men to embrace their role of leadership in their realm of influence and lead in a definite and positive and principled course. Here's the truth of the matter. Good leadership benefits everyone. If there's a void, someone or something's going to fill it, only it's not going to be the best. Gideon is our example tonight in our Bible character series. We read in verse 12 how God called him a mighty man of valor. Even though that's not necessarily the vision we would initially have, that's still what God saw him to be and what God was preparing him for. You know, judged by the world and its wisdom, Gideon would have been one who was weak, one who was uninfluential. Even Gideon himself said, I don't know how I'm going to do what you've asked me to do, Lord. I'm even in my own family, I'm the least, I'm the smallest. He might have been weak and uninfluential in the world's eyes, but with the presence and the power of Jehovah God, he became what God intended him to be, and that was a mighty man of valor. That's what God wants to create in us. Mighty men and women of valor who stand, who lead in the way of righteousness. Listen, there's a void of strong leadership today in our culture. There's a void of strong leadership today in our churches, because there's a void of strong leadership in our families. There's a lot of man babies out there who want to live like Peter Pan and never grow up. The result of that is severe. The result of that is a severe lack of leadership, and it brings very negative effects to families, to churches, and a culture as a whole. You see it in ours. The reason for the homosexual agenda that has further corrupted into the transgender and further corrupted into the any other, you know, part of the alphabet that you want to add to that, the reason for that is because of a lack of male leadership and godly leadership at the very base, in homes, in families. And there's, like I said, a whole lot of man babies out there who still want mama to take care of them, who won't grow up, who won't take responsibility for themselves, and they don't have to because they're not made to. And the result is catastrophic for families, for churches, and for our country. Gideon is our example tonight. I want us to look at what helped him. What helped him become that mighty man of valor that God said he was. I want to talk to you tonight about becoming a leader. Let's pray and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, would you challenge us with truth and with the Word of God tonight? And Lord, I pray that we would be in prayer for our country, prayer for our families, our churches, and even things that, you know, may not be glaring in our own church, they might be in other churches who are supposed to be preaching the gospel. And we just need to pray for one another, pray for our own lives, Lord, that we would be the kind of people that you want us to be. Bless the preaching here tonight with your Spirit and your power in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to look at verses 25 to verse 40. That's really where our text is going to be tonight. And like I said, I don't think we're going to be able to get all the way through all of this here, but follow along. The Bible says, "And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place. And take the second bullock, and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants, and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, Who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, Bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, Will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death whilst it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Therefore on that day he called him Jerubbaal, saying, Let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him, and he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher, and unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool on the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece and upon all the ground. Let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. That last part of this passage is very familiar. Many sermons have been preached out of it, and maybe we'll get to that at some point too. But I'm not going to focus on that part initially. What I want to talk to you about is becoming a leader and see an example of that in Gideon's life. The first thing I want to draw your attention to is this: where becoming a leader began. Where did it begin for Gideon? Well, according to what I read here, it seems as though becoming a leader began at home for Gideon, in his father's house. We read in this text, in this passage, that when the angel came, the angel of the Lord came to speak to Gideon in verse 11, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was an Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash. It belonged to Joash, the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Gideon was serving in his father's house. He was threshing wheat by the winepress. The Word of God tells us that God told Gideon at this point what he was supposed to do. In verse 14, the Lord looked upon him and said, "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the land of Midian. Have not I sent thee?" So God gives Gideon direction of what he's supposed to do. God tells Gideon how this is going to happen. In verse 16, "And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." So God tells Gideon what to do. He tells him how it's going to happen. But then the Lord tests Gideon and his character. And we find that in verse 25, "It came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it." Gideon is at home in his father's house. God tells Gideon what he's supposed to do. God tells Gideon how it's going to happen. But then he puts Gideon through a test. And Gideon, becoming a leader, started at home in his father's house. God told him to do something that was even contrary to what his family or his father would have approved of. He said, "Throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath." What a challenge for Gideon. Are you going to put God and obedience to God ahead of even honoring, or not necessarily honoring, but doing your father's wishes or his bidding and his will? Ahead of his family. Listen, we ought to honor our parents, absolutely. But we ought not follow in the footsteps of that which is contrary to God's law. Gideon had a choice to make, to obey and do what the Lord had said to do, or not ruffle any feathers and just sort of sink back into the family, you know, trends and so on, and not make any waves. He had a choice to make. He had to decide while he was young in his father's home. Let me make an application here. Developing leadership does begin in the home. We're going to look at two things here in just a minute. We're going to look at some parental responsibility, but then we're also going to look at some personal responsibility. Developing leadership does begin in the home, and it starts with parental responsibility. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Proverbs 22 and verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go." There is ample biblical commands for parents to bring them up and to train them up in the way that they should go. Listen, you understand this and you know this as a parent. It takes training and it takes work to instill character and principled living in our children. It takes work. What doesn't take work, and what doesn't take any teaching, and what doesn't take any training, is to teach them how to lie. It doesn't take any training how to teach them how to be lazy. It doesn't take any training how to teach them, or to teach them how to be unkind, and it certainly doesn't take anything to teach them how to be selfish. Man, we're masters of that. Why? Why doesn't it take any training to do that? Because it's ingrained in us, in our little sin nature, from the very beginning. We come forth from the womb speaking lies. It's natural in our sinful flesh to want to pamper ourselves. Children are no different. It's very natural for them to want to pamper themselves. And when that is left to itself, the Bible says that a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. When those natural tendencies of our flesh are left to just run rampant, what happens? Well, I think we see it actually in our culture, what happens. Society is suffering today. Society is suffering today from spoiled, lazy man babies. There's a prolonged adolescence that goes on. Why is it that there's an epidemic of 30-year-olds plus living in their mama's basement, playing their video games, wasting their life? Why is there an epidemic? Because they're allowed to. Where are the men? Where are the men who are to lead? Where are the men who are the leaders in industry? Where are the men who are the leaders in science? Where are the men who stand up and say, listen, I want to serve God with my life? Where are the men who are leading in principle and character? There's probably a lot of single ladies who are saying, where are the men? But I'm not going to settle for man babies. I'm really thankful for my own mother. I'm going to brag on you a little bit, Mom. When I was young, I distinctly remember this. When I was 12 years old, my mom said, it's time for you to start taking care of yourself. What does that mean? It's like, you're going to do your own laundry. I'm like, I distinctly remember this. As 12 years old, standing in the basement of our house with a pile of my clothes on the floor and my mom teaching me how to sort the colors, teaching me how to, what goes with what, teaching me how to use the right kind of temperature of water with certain kind of clothes, teaching me how much soap to put in the washing machine, teaching me what the buttons do and how to do it, and telling me you're going to start taking care of yourself. And basically, if you want clean undies, you're going to have to do it. Sure, I didn't like that at the time. I remember my mom teaching me how to iron my own clothes at 12 years old. Church is coming around. You shouldn't go to church with a wrinkled shirt. You need to iron your clothes. Teaching me how to do that. I'm telling you, to this day, I still iron my own clothes. Not because my wife won't do it or anything like that, but she's got other kids to take care of. She doesn't need a big kid to have to take care of too. I remember my mom telling me, you need to hang up your clothes after you get home from church. Stop throwing them on the floor. Stop throwing them on the bed. Put them away. Hang them up in your closet. By the time I was 14 years old, my parents made me buy my own clothes. I had a job, or at least a way to make some money at the time. So they wouldn't leave me without clothes. So you're going to be responsible for yourself. You know, at the time, I would feel like, oh, poor me, poor me. And maybe some people would listen to that and say, oh, poor you, that's terrible. But you know what I say now? No, 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 and no. Today, I am so thankful for those lessons that were hard and that were taught me as a 12-year-old. Why? It taught me how to be responsible for myself. It taught me to have some character in my life. And I still lack in some character, trust me. But I'm so thankful for those lessons and how critical for a young man to have to learn those things. Because listen, if he can't take care of himself, he certainly can't take care of a family. How many today? I wonder. I bet it's epidemic. But I wonder how many even Christian young men are looking for women, ladies, who will take care of them just like mama and have all of their needs met. And so that's the kind of girl they're looking for in a spouse, when it ought to be the other way around. God teaches me to take care of myself. It's my responsibility to meet her needs and to take care of a family. Where does that start? It starts in the home. How critical of a thing. But the reason that we have this kind of a scourge on our society is because of a lack of leadership in a lot of these areas. What I'm saying is there's parental responsibility to teach, to train, to build character in our boys, to build character in our young ladies. And so often, parents, we set the stage for their success. We see that leadership, becoming a leader, begins in the home. There's that parental responsibility. But I really see in our text as well that there's personal responsibility. Because in verse 25, we find that God gave Gideon a command. And God said to go throw down the altar that thy father hath and cut down the grove that is beside it. He was told by God to tear down his father's altar to a false god. Now, what would have happened if he had not obeyed the Lord? What would have happened in Gideon's life if he hadn't obeyed the Lord? Well, it's likely and probable that Gideon would have followed in the same footsteps as his father and been an idolater too. He had to choose a different path for his own life. You know, there's many habits and there are many faults that get passed on to the next generation. And that generation ends up with the same struggles and the same problems as the parents so often. And listen, I don't say this to condemn anyone. I'm talking to myself here. I say, oh me, at that thought. I really do. I am keenly aware of deficiencies in my own life, things that are character flaws in me that so often get translated to my children. I don't want that. But it's up to me to make the change. It's up to me to make the difference. Sometimes there are deficiencies in our parents, because there aren't any perfect parents and there aren't any perfect people. And maybe some of those deficiencies that we have as parents were passed on to us from our own. But here's the truth of the matter. As we grow and as we mature and as we develop our own relationship to God, we become responsible for ourselves. No one can totally blame their parents, because we can stop the trends in our own life by choosing that which is right and that which is principled. That was the case with Gideon. And part of Gideon becoming a leader, becoming a man that God could use, he had to determine to be obedient to God himself. You know what? It takes courage. It takes some character in a man or character in a lady to stand and do what is right, especially when it's contrary to my own family or the trend in it. I don't have to go that way if it's contrary to God's law. I don't have to do this. I don't have to be the same way. I don't have to have the same attitude. I don't have to respond the same way. No, I can be principled and charactered in my own life, and I can respond to the Lord, and I can choose to be different if it's godly. I'm just simply saying this. It takes some courage to do that. It takes some character to do that. Some personal responsibility to do that when all of the pressure is to stay this way. If God reveals something, we can change that for our own life by God's grace. Gideon becoming a man, becoming a leader, it started at home when he was young. It took courage. It took character. It helped him. Listen, it helped him pass the tests for what God was preparing him for, to lead men into battle, what God was preparing him for, to be a strong leader and become that mighty man of valor. Listen, it helped him. It helped him to trust God later on. What happened later on? He was going to go to battle against the Midianites. And he calls all the people and says, this is what's going to happen. And God says, the number of people, it's too many. Because Israel's just going to say, we did this by our own hand. And so God says, I want you to tell everybody who's afraid, who's fearful, you can go back home. The Bible says 22,000 people left. It left 10,000. God says, it's still too many, Gideon. So I want you to take them down to the water, and how they drink is going to determine how many stay. It got down to 300 people against the Midianites that the Bible says whose camels were without number. They were like grasshoppers everywhere. The numbers, the odds were stacked against them, that's for sure. And Gideon had to trust God. Gideon had to trust God to still lead when it wasn't in their favor. You know what? That's part of leadership. Being able to discern the will of God and the mind of the Lord when you don't know what to do, when you don't have the resources, when it doesn't seem like anything is in your favor, you still got to stand up and lead. And you still have to trust God. God was testing Gideon, preparing him for what was coming. It took some personal responsibility on Gideon's part to choose to obey God, even in the face of the thing that would displease his family and the men of the city. I think maybe we should stop right here tonight. It's a lot to chew on already. Next time, though, I want us to consider not only where becoming a leader began at home, but when it began. Verse 27 tells us that when he got the command of the Lord, the Bible says that Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said. You know when it began? It began right away. It began at once. Gideon didn't say, I'll wait until I'm older. I'll wait until I've got this done or that done. Gideon obeyed the Lord right away. Not someday. That's part of leadership. Well, consider also what he did. The Bible tells us that God said to tear down or throw down the altar and cut down the grove. The thing that was opposed to God, he tore it down. But then the Bible also says that he built something up. He built up an altar. He built up the thing that was honoring to God. And we'll talk about how we got to tear down those things that dishonor God in our life, but build up, replace it with, and build up the things that are honoring to the Lord. And then what happened with all of that? Well, verses 28 to 30 tell us that the attitude of the people changed. As soon as Gideon stood up for what was right and obeyed the Lord, guess what happened? People wanted his head. That's part of leadership too. People will attack you. People will insult you. People will criticize you. People didn't like him. But you know what else happened? Even though people didn't like him, he sure gained a whole lot of respect from others. And he gave others the courage to move on, to trust the Lord, and to follow him into battle. That's pretty crazy. 300. They said, we're going to follow you, Gideon, because they respected him and they trusted the Lord. Becoming a leader. Well, it's so critical for our families. It's so critical for our churches. It's so critical for our nation. And let's ask the Lord to help us be the kind of men, the kind of leaders that God wants us to be in our influence. Amen? And train our boys. Train our kids. It starts in the home. Someday, these little ones could be great men that God could use. So often, we set the course in many ways for their success. Let's take the responsibility seriously. Amen. For ourselves, for the next generation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, pray that you challenge us tonight. And Lord, I know that I am. And I want to be the kind of man, the kind of man who's charactered and principled and who can lead in a godly way. And the struggle is real with our flesh. The fight is ever there. But Lord, through your grace, we can gain victory and be what you want us to be. I pray that you'd help us to have it in our heart. That you'd be glorified, that you'd be honored. And Lord, that we could be the kind of people you can use. In Jesus' name, amen.